There is a world where Ohio State has only played half of its games this year.
In a world of a 16-game season.
Here's why that's scary. Ohio State is still getting better. What would that even look like as they get through these last 4 weeks of the regular season? Just taking off, because that win on Saturday, 38-14 over Penn State, pretty impressive. That was a couple days ago, because now you can tell that it's Talking Tuesday. We're getting ready for Purdue, and I don't think we have to talk a lot about them, but television's Adam King, 10 TV's Adam King, is here to get ready for Ryan Day's Purdue week press conference, which I just think is probably going to be dominated by Heisman conversation and building towards the end of the month.
Well, I feel like we can really get into, you know, a big conversation with Ryan. You know, if you had to pick one steakhouse in Columbus, where are you going? You know, like really dive into the hard-hitting questions.
Do you want to give him the truth serum for that?
Yeah.
The lie detector version?
And he will say, I can't say, even with the lie detector. I'm not giving somebody free publicity.
Not allowed.
I understand that it is Purdue. And I understand that these next 3 weeks, somebody asked me, how do I make the next 3 weeks interesting, like in my job? And I was like, you know, that's a fitting question. Because if you combine all their opponents, they have exactly four conference wins.
That's four more than Penn State. We made that game pretty interesting.
That's true. Well, they made it interesting for a little. They like to have fun.
Yeah.
Okay. They just want to challenge themselves.
That's true.
So I guess if it is Talking Tuesday and we are required to ask questions that don't involve steakhouses. And so my question to Ryan Day would be, I would take the question that was asked to me and turn to him. Coach, how are you going to handle the next 3 weeks? And he would say, you know, every day is about ourselves. So I'm going to put the truth serum and say, how are you actually going to handle this? Because I look back at the Texas game and how that game ended, and then they kind of got like a little off preseason.
Yeah. Training camp two.
We have training camp part three.
Oh my gosh. And training camp 3.0?
Yes. Yeah, so let me tell you, when Purdue, Rutgers, or UCLA make this a game, they're going to clip this out and hold it against me for the rest of my life.
What do you mean when?
I'm saying
that's, if. Is that a bold prediction?
No. If it's a bold, okay. Yeah. And not actually if, because it ain't happened.
Yeah.
But I think there is an opportunity here to treat the next 3 weeks very similar to, okay, first chunk of the season was us learning really about us. Second chunk was us settling in. Third chunk, we are going to challenge ourselves in every way possible. So when we get to that 2 days after Thanksgiving, that is the run. That is X marks the spot.
Yeah.
We go. Now we go. And so I wonder if Ryan would ever admit, probably not, but I have to imagine that's what they're thinking in the Woody. Am I wrong?
I think that is the part that is this week's hook him up to the lie detector is, do you think that you can pick things out for what Purdue did? And maybe it'll be as simple as turning on the tape of what they did to Michigan. They turned that into an actual game.
It was a 4-point win.
So maybe that will get their attention.
Against a $6 million quarterback, mind you.
The most expensive quarterback in college football. It
shows you how good Purdue is.
Kudos to Purdue for that. Maybe that will be as simple. Maybe they'll latch onto that and we'll hear about what they did against Michigan all week long. Won't surprise me if that happens, but you're going to have to pick and choose. Purdue defensively had a decent game against Michigan. I think that had more to do with the Wolverines than it did the Boilermakers, based on what I've seen from other games. A week from now, it will be the talk of UCLA with the bounce back and Nico Iamaleva coming back in, and they saw what a great performance he turned in, even in the losing effort in the playoff. Rutgers, I don't know. Don't even try to that. Like, at that point, you're just going to be saying, we're going to be locked in, and we're not going to look ahead past this matchup, and this is the last opportunity to get ready for the game. So I think that's how they'll do it. Now, is that a message that will resonate to Ohio State? They talk all the time, and you already brought it up. It is about Ohio State. Ryan Day will say it is about us. It is about measuring themselves and grading out as a champion and keeping it internal. That really can't change, because they're four touchdown favorites this week. They're going to be something similar to that against UCLA. They're going to be something similar to that for Rutgers. They won't be that for Michigan. And that's a season unto itself. But I do think that is a relevant question. What are you hoping to accomplish out of each of these next three games? Because there's not a scenario where they're going to call it training camp 3.0. You and I might, but in the Woody, that's not going to be, it can't be the mentality.
It's absolutely, this season has shaken out unlike I think anyone could have predicted it. I understand. I mean, first of all, when you start with Texas, you're like, oh my gosh, they got that win that day. And you're like, that's it. Like, they're
in the playoff.
Yeah. They are. But never did any of us imagine that, like, they would go on the road to Washington and it would be pretty much a nothing burger game. Illinois, they would be a dominant game that they kind of sloppily won. You look at Penn State was, I mean, that's the most jarring of them all. So they've done a good job this year of manufacturing a narrative, manufacturing why this game matters.
Sure.
Going to Illinois, going to Washington, getting up for Penn State. I guess my question, another one would be, what is the narrative for Purdue? Give me your, like, you walk into that locker room and you say, I guess I could create it, which is, we've lost there before. We've seen this story before, guys. Don't go in there and, you know, let me put on the tape from 2017, 18, where things did not go very well. But that's
putting it mildly.
Yes. You know, I don't think it's good when you miss 18 tackles on one play and there's only 11 guys playing defense. So I wonder if that's their mantra. Maybe you go all the way back to like 2010 and say this number one or number two Ohio State team went in there to a nothing Purdue team and struggled and lost.
Right.
I just don't think, like, here's a question. What, it's talking Tuesday, I'm allowed. What?
I wasn't going to stop you.
You look like you were going to say it's the end of the show. What does Ryan Day, and if you want to get in the comments and you want to talk about the Michigan game, that's fine. But other than the Michigan game last year, Ryan Day has never lost to an unranked team. And really, I can only think of a couple scenarios where he almost lost to an unranked team. I remember Nebraska last year got a little dicey. That was
It was right there in that same time frame.
Yeah, it was a weird vibe. Yeah. But
it was the re-engineering phase.
What is it about Ryan Day behind closed doors that allows his teams to get up for the games they're supposed to win? Look at the rest of the country. The rest of the country can't do it. I mean, Alabama played the preseason number 13 team on the road, and they struggled. Yep. They almost lost to South Carolina, but they found a way to win. When you look at, like
giving them the preseason ranking and not saying 3-5 South Carolina. No,
preseason number 13 team. That's what I saw.
The check from the SEC is in the mail for
exactly.
You.
Exactly. When you look at Georgia, just went on the road to Florida without a head coach. I think they're 3-5. Like, these are teams, and Ohio State is doing that. I mean, they're going to these games, and they're not at all letting up. So what is happening? There's something that they've created inside the Woody that has allowed them to do this, that this might be one of the toughest challenges in Day's era to keep his team focused.
Yeah, I think it sounds a little bit cliche, but Ohio State's biggest opponent, when it talks about itself, it's not beating yourself. It is not getting bored. It is not letting complacency creep in. And we saw that, I think, around 2020 and 2021, specific to the end of the month, which is how we're just going to be talking about, I think, the next 3 weeks, is everything is how much stock, how much building is going in towards Michigan, and then the potential for number one versus number two against Indiana in the Big Ten championship game after that. Like, that is the point we're in, because Ohio State has won the battle against complacency in a way that I think is remarkable. And I've seen these stories. I saw one immediately after the game on Saturday about how boring it is what Ohio State is doing. I don't feel that way at all. Mm-hmm. And what Ryan Day has done that is more important than anything else is, we heard this, I think, 3 weeks ago when his mantra was don't get bored. Mm-hmm. On Saturday night after the game, he said that they won. They have to feel good about it. But the key is go get rest that night and then win the routine, to continue to do that week after week. Now, winning cures a lot of that. They haven't had some of the volatility and the things that would make you question that process, because that process is working. That routine has been embraced, and they know what they're going to do on a Tuesday, and Ryan Day is going to be on the podium, and then there's going to be a Bloody Tuesday practice after that. Then they're going to go to the training table, and then they're going to go back to Wednesday. Like, they've been really good at that. I don't think that should ever be taken for granted. I don't think in Columbus, and I know in the Woody it hasn't been, but the fact that it has now become the national perspective, it's like, these guys are boring. Like, they're just doing this so consistently.
If you are bored by Ohio State football, then you don't understand. I don't want to say you don't understand. Then you are not appreciating what makes college football amazing.
And hard.
And look at the day-to-day. Like, I think that's been my favorite part of this season. Like, looking back, everybody hopes this goes 16 games. When we're standing in Miami, looking back and thinking,
oh, no if this time.
Yeah, there we go. When we're standing in Miami and we're doing Talking Tuesday, that would be the – wait.
Ooh, on the beach?
That would be the day after the game, right?
Sure would be.
I would
– I got a lot of questions.
I got a lot of questions. We're going to have a lot of answers. But – I think that looking back to the game at Penn State and saying, wow, look at the difference they made in that second half. That is a monumental shift to come out and just stop a team. Just shut them down completely after they were able to move the ball. And I can understand saying their games are boring because Penn State was in that game. Everybody's like, well, you know, it got dicey. That was 3 minutes. It was 3 minutes of actual game time where Penn State scored a touchdown.
Well, yeah, but halftime was in there, so real time.
Penn State scored a touchdown. Ohio State fumbled the football. Penn State scored a touchdown. The other 57 minutes were just domination from Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I love to look at how they've been growing. I think it's really fun to watch Brian Hartline and Ryan Day almost challenge this offense against a defense that they shouldn't be challenged. Like, they could have won that game with 100-0 and just kept throwing four verts.
Well, if Jim Knowles kept playing man defense, yeah.
You guys know Jim Knowles? He's known for the big play. And yet he wasn't ready for two of the best receivers in the country. It's tough to see.
The symmetry of both Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith having 57-yard catches in that game and then finishing with 124 and 123 yards respectively. It's like, you couldn't have drawn it up.
I just wonder, like, is that what practice was like for 3 years? Like, like, well, I mean, I know it wasn't because this Buckeye defense is so good, but like, Jim, what's the goal here? You think you're going to beat them? They challenge you to run man. They say run man and we will catch it every time. And Jim Knowles said, bet.
Prove it.
Yeah. And they did.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
He's like, I used to see IGB break up these passes to Jeremiah Smith in practice. Okay.
And then I put gloves on IGB's hands and he didn't.
Maybe you don't have IGB, Jermaine Matthews and Caleb Downs and Jalen McClain and Lorenzo Styles anymore. Maybe. I don't. Yeah. It's crazy. That was last week.
That was last week. But I guess my biggest thing with these games and the boring mantra, people tell me that. Like, they're like, don't you get bored watching these games? I'm like, no, I love it. I love when the defense is out on the field because when the defense is on the field, you're watching Matt Patricia at work. You're watching. And it's almost good that they gave up two touchdowns. And it's good that they fumbled the football. Because guess who's not going to fumble the football for a long time?
C.J. Donaldson.
Yeah. He may surrender an extra yard to make sure that thing doesn't come out of the, you know, like, when you have Ryan Day yelling
words,
don't fumble the football, sir. It gets
Please.
You. That's what you want. That's what this is about. If you want non-boring Ohio State football games, I'll go back, another reference, to the 2018 team. Because that was not boring. That Maryland game, not boring at all. The Penn State comeback, not boring at all. Wasn't great. Didn't enjoy it. Took a lot of years off people's lives. But
covering that Maryland game was one of the worst experiences of my life.
So the stress on your heart is just, I mean, thinking about that whole season. But that's not what this is. And you've got to enjoy the fact that they're able to tinker right now. And they're able to go out there. And you're able to watch a Buckeye football game without, as I said, you know, like, I've long said, being a Buckeye football fan, the passion that this fan base has, it'll take a good 10 years. I mean, you got to enjoy your life because there are some games, you know, you got to enjoy these that they've dominated.
Well, Adam, I'm personally amused by it because, and I know that the narratives don't matter on Saturday once the ball is kicked off and the game is played, but they give us a lot to talk about, and college football is filled with debate, and everything about this team from January 21st all the way up until August 29th was, well, they lost 8 defensive starters. They lost their quarterback. They lost all this talent. They're not going to be able to reload. And you're looking for a new contender over here. And it's Penn State. It's Texas over here on this side. It's Indiana. Why they're actually the true deserving number one. And everyone
Miami.
And Miami. I mean,
thank you.
I never said that. So I don't have, I'm just excluding it. But, the point is, I would feel like everyone that doubted and was skeptical of Ohio State because of the reasons that they mentioned, that they had to replace all this, that they lost both coordinators, that there was going to be a difficult rebuilding project, that they would have a greater sense of appreciation for what Ohio State has done, that they rebuilt the plane while it was still in the air, and Julian Sain is now the odds-on favorite to
Good
win.
Reference.
Yeah, thank you. To win the Heisman Trophy, that Jeremiah Smith is still here, and he's the catch that he made with double coverage on his back was, and not let alone that one to save Julian Sain's champion grade, the deflected ball. Like,
oh, you weren't even talking about that.
I was talking about the deep ball with double coverage.
Yeah,
behind him, just running right past it. That to me.
I mean, on that one, Jim Knowles was ready.
Well, he tried.
He did.
It still didn't work. But I would think that the story would not be, the storylines, the narrative would not be, gosh, these guys are boring. It'd be, how did they do this? And can anyone duplicate it? And what makes this Ohio State team special? And how did they, everyone wants to be critical of the NIL and the portal. And if they're recruiting at the same level that they used to, like this team just kept Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson and Arvell Reese in reserve for a year. And then, you know, here comes Carnell Tate to bounce off as 1A and 1B with Jeremiah Smith. And I mean, I would think that there would be a greater sense of tribute paid to this team. And I know that they're not done. And Ryan Day will say, we're not going to be a finished product. We're not going to talk about the Heisman actually being in Julian Sayin's possession or a Biletnikoff for Jeremiah or whatever. Like, that's true because there are 4 weeks to go in the regular season and potentially four games after that. They're not done. But I would think at this point to be at 8-0, very few people nationally were considering that as a realistic outcome for this team. And now they've just skipped right past that and said, this sucks. Give us some exciting games.
We want 7-point games where both teams score 55.
Yeah. No, I just think that they deserve more credit for that personally. And it doesn't matter if they're getting it or not.
You're spot on because I think that's what's been enjoyable. And I think if you're looking for something to enjoy over the next 3 weeks and games that Ohio State should, in theory, I mean, if you lined them up and didn't play them consecutively, shut out each team and probably put up 45 each game at the minimum. Watch the process. I think there are very few years, like last year's team, the process was frustrating because that was the developed product.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
if that makes it, like you can't be sitting there in Nebraska.
That's a great
like,
point.
It's so exciting to watch this team. What could they be? And you're like, these are all seniors. Like they got to figure it out. Like we can't.
These guys are ahead of schedule.
Yes. These guys, the process you are watching play out and you're watching each week, Julian is only going to get better. It's horrifying to say, but he is. And like,
it's not horrifying.
No. I mean, for other teams, like other defensive coordinators, like that's wild. But if enjoy the process when they're, I have never enjoyed watching a Buckeye football season more like microscopically 100%. Than this year, because you're seeing the tinkering happen, but not a tinkering. So often we get to a tinkering in the point where you're like, well, we got to figure something out. This is bad.
It's broken.
Yeah. It's broken. This is tinkering with it already being fixed and trying to take it from great to excellent and a national champion level. So that is to go back and answer my question from way at the beginning. What are you looking for? How are you going to keep it exciting? Yeah. I think you've got to watch this team and watch and see if someone over the next 3 weeks also works their way into this. I mean,
if you were paying attention on Saturday against Penn State, that happened on both sides of the football, in my opinion.
Josh Padilla?
No, Tegra, I think, he answered that, I think.
Yeah,
the skepticism that we had.
I thought you were just saying Padilla got in.
He did get in.
Yeah, but Tegra looked good.
Tegra had a really nice game. But what did I say a couple weeks ago? Can't play all four running backs. James Peoples, I thought, he made the most of his opportunities. He was also in there. He was a decoy on the play action, sort of orbit motion, the fadeaway throw to Carnell Tate, which just crazy play all around. James Peoples.
Let's give that guy the Heisman.
I think 5 touches he had for 25 yards. You think, well, that's not a whole lot. He and Edric Houston, I put in the exact same bucket. We expected the world of them. They were both supposed to be sophomore starters. It didn't happen at the level that they wanted for different reasons for each of them. But guess what? They were still talented, and neither one gave up on their process, their work ethic. The coaching staff certainly hasn't given up on them, and they're finding ways now to re-elevate. And I asked Edric, I was walking with him in the tunnel after the game on Saturday, Adam, and I was like, maybe some of this is my fault. I thought you were already here. This is just where you were supposed
to
be.
You said this to him?
I did, because I know he was frustrated. And I asked Ryan Day about it on Wednesday as well, like to loop all this together. I've been fascinated by the Edric Houston experience this year when we're talking about process.
Is that a ride at Disney World, the Edric Houston experience?
It would be an exhilarating ride.
It would.
Or terrifying because he's a monstrous human being.
It'd be a lot of fun though.
Yeah, I think we should all recommend that to the Imagineers. But
thank you.
We put a lot of expectation and pressure and hype on Edric Houston. And it was like, he had 7 tackles a year ago. He's 13 months into playing defensive tackle. I said, well, it's here. And then Tywan Malone or somebody else has to step up and support. No, I mean, he was still growing. He was still developing. Then there was injuries and all these other things to deal with, learning practice habits and learning a new position. And now if you're paying attention to the gradual ascension or rebuild or climb, like however you want to phrase it, he's doing the things that we thought he could, just didn't happen immediately. And that's not a problem because, again, this team's playing 16 games. So there's going to be more people potentially who are doing what Edric Houston is doing.
You're halfway there. That's a crazy thing to say. I just want to say, in this Talking Tuesday, you have gotten me excited for the Purdue game and the Rutgers game and the UCLA game because I think watching snap counts, I think watching who they try to get in and work. I am not one of those people who, I don't want a Heisman voter to be one of those people that votes based on stats. That very much infuriates me to my core. And so I really hope.
So you're voting for Jeremiah?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
I understand that Julian is the front runner for the Heisman and he should be, but I would ask Ryan, which I'm sure will be asked, how do you balance the fact that you cannot care about that award as much as, I mean, I hate to say this, but look at Jaden Daniels on Sunday night. He's in the game with 9 minutes to go. You literally never know what the next play holds. I don't, like through this stretch, I don't care if we don't see Julian Sain after midway through the second quarter. If he throws 2 touchdowns and 200 yards in every game, he should be on the bench. There should be no concern about what Mendoza's doing in Indiana or Ty Simpson at Alabama.
Yeah.
Because all it's going to take is a great performance in the game and a great performance in Indy, and you've got the trophy wrapped up. So I hope that there isn't, and Ohio State's never been one to do that. But I do think it's going to be hard with this setting so close to the end of the season. Now all the hype is around it. The websites are out there. So like,
yeah,
you want those numbers, but it can't be about that because you know what's so much better than a Heisman Trophy?
A national championship.
Beautiful. I was going to say the Aloha Bowl, but.
Oh. There was like a Hula Bowl representative.
The Hula Bowl. And you know what's so funny is
What are you doing here?
Well, they were there to see Penn State.
Oh. But they came to Ohio State's press. So you were outside the locker room. I'm upstairs listening to Ryan Day. And they were in Ohio State's press conference.
They wanted to hear what Ohio State had to say about Penn
State. What are you doing here? They're 8-0.
I asked the guy straight up, are you here for Penn State? And he said, well, Ohio State's typically playing in games pretty late in the season, so we never get to see them.
Yeah, well.
It's a good problem to have.
Penn State might want to win 3 more games.
Are they not bowl? Oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about it. They haven't even beat an FBS team. They beat an FBS team, Power 4 team.
They have not beat a Power 4 team. And
Indiana's on deck.
They've not beat a Big Ten team. They play Indiana on Saturday. The math is getting a little challenging there for Penn State, but maybe they just want to have all of December clear for new coach and transfer portal activity.
That's probably a good point.
I mean, just pack it in. I didn't think that they packed it in, by the way, which is why I thought Saturday's win was so impressive for Ohio State.
I was happy with it.
To the next one, which will be in cloudy, rainy, gray-skied West Lafayette, Indiana.
You know, I'm convinced they made it a 1 o'clock kick just because they like to be weird when it comes to Purdue. They know everything is weird when it comes to Purdue week.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? This game is always just a little off. You know, something's just not right. And they're like, you know what would do that? You know what would throw them? One extra hour of sleep.
Yeah, that's going to do it.
Maybe Julian Sain doesn't, you know, he sleeps in through his alarm. Maybe he doesn't sleep the night before because he's just so anxious about Purdue.
It's like 1 o'clock. That's out of routine. Yeah. What's that mean for Buckeye time?
That's right.
It threw Berm because he thought that West Lafayette was in the central time zone.
It threw me because I thought when it was announced to us a little before it's put out there that,
gotta keep those secrets.
3 minutes before it was put out there. I thought, this is a mistext.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be say noon.
It's gotta be noon.
No, sorry.
1 p.m. As you said, it's Purdue week, so it's gonna get weird. There will still be a lot of coverage on the Austin and Berm show. I can promise you that. We will be in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center later on Tuesday to hear from Ryan Day. We'll have some snap judgments, and then Berm will be back for Wednesday's stock watch. Maybe it'll be buy or sell. I don't know. That'll be a game time decision once we get there. But it's going to be an awesome week, a fun week. Can't wait to break it all down as we get ready for Ohio State at Purdue, 1 o'clock on Saturday. This, though, it's Talking Tuesday. He's Adam King. I'm Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.